Tonight is a very important yahrzeit, Aaron HaKohen, one of the rare yahrzeits mentioned in the Torah, in the Chumash, that he passed away on Rosh Chodesh Av. So we'll say a few words about Aaron HaKohen, and then we have the yahrzeit of the Arizal. We'll say a few words about him, and we'll talk also about Ben Hamtzorim. One of the points that's really highlighted in the Breslov Sforum and Rav Nosson Zal Sforum about Aaron HaKohen is the fact that we find that when Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the mission to rescue Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim, you would think he would jump on it. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu is called, out of all the leaders of Klal Yisrael, he's called Raya Mehemna, the trustworthy shepherd, the one who never let us down, never let Klal Yisrael down, and he put his life on the line to save us and protect us. How could this be that Hashem says to him, Hashem asks him, please go take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, and he starts negotiating, he starts trying to get out of it. And it went on for 7 days, back and forth, and Moshe Rabbeinu keeps refusing, until, what was Hashem's winning argument? Hashem said to him, Hine Aharon Ochicho Yoytze Likrosecho, your brother Aaron HaKohen is going to be coming, when you go to Mitzrayim, he's going to be coming out towards you, V'roacho, he's going to see you, V'somach B'liboy, and he's going to be happy in his heart for you. And this tells us what was going on. This tells us what Moshe Rabbeinu's problem was with taking the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. What was his problem? What got us into Mitzrayim? How did we get there? It started off with Yosef HaTzadik and his brothers. Yaakov Avinu sends Yosef HaTzadik to go find his brothers, and he meets somebody on the way, and the person tells him, Nosu Mizeh, they just left here. And the Mefarshim brings Zeh, Zion Hay is 12. Nosu Mizeh, they left 12. They don't want 12. 11 is enough. 11 is good enough for them. They don't want you. Yosef HaTzadik continues on his mission. He comes to them, and they see him. And it says they're planning to kill him. And then it says, Vayishma Ruvain Vayatzileu Miyodom. Ruvain hears about it, and he saves him. How does he save him? Hatzala. Hatzala on the way. He says, why should we dirty our hands? There's a pit here. Let's throw him into the pit, and we'll say that wild animals ate him. So first of all, the Or HaChaim HaKodesh, whose yahrzeit was not that long ago, the Or HaChaim HaKodesh asks, that's called Hatzala? That's called Hatzala, throw him into a pit of snakes and scorpions? And he answers, yes. That Yosef HaTzadik was safer in the hands of snakes and scorpions than he was in the hands of these great tzaddikim. Tzaddikei Hador, the tzaddikim of the generation, the sons of Yaakov Avinu, who are called Mito Shlema, perfect. Not like Avram Avinu, who had a Yishmael, or Yitzchak Avinu, who had an Esav. These are all winners. All winners. Why? Because the Or HaChaim HaKodesh says, as is written in many Sforim, that animals don't have Bechira. An animal cannot harm a person unless it's given a direct command by Hashem to do so. And a human being can. A human being, Hashem lets the leash out so far that even if Hashem did not want Yosef HaTzadik to get hurt, Hashem gave them the option. He gave them the choice to accept him or to reject him, to kill him or not to kill him. So that's why the word Vayatzilei was used. And that's what got us down to Mitzrayim. And then Moshe Rabbeinu starts growing up in Mitzrayim, and he sees an Egyptian beating up on a Jew. He looks around and he kills him. The next day he sees two Yidden fighting, Dosan Vaviram, and he says, Rosha, lomo sakereyecha, Rosha, why are you hitting your friend? And they say to him, Halahorgeni atoimer, are you saying that to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? Because they saw, isn't that? They saw that Moshe Rabbeinu had killed the Mitzri using a name of Hashem. And that name of Hashem was in the words that he said. When he said, Rosh Shalomo Sake Reyecho, the Arizal explains that Tof Chof Hei is one of the names of Hashem. It's part of the 72 names. There's a special name of Hashem that's comprised of 72 three-letter words, and this is one of them. And it also is built on the fact that it comes after Hashem's name Shin Dalad Yud. After Shin comes Tav, after Dalad comes Hey, after Yud comes Chaf. So these letters Tav, Chaf, Hey, and the Arizal writes a lot about it. So this is what they say, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ochei Noida Hadavar. Now I got the answer to the $64,000 question. I had a question, Rashi says. What was his question? Are the Yidden so much worse than other nations? To say that we're bad, maybe, but compared to other nations, are we so much worse than them that we get beaten on by Hashem so that we have to be in Golus, you know, for 200 years, over 200 years? And show me another nation in the world that's getting beaten like that. Why? Manishtana, why are we worse? But it says when he saw the machloikas, he saw Daltun that they were prepared to snitch to Paro. Jew was prepared to go to Paro to snitch on Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, now I understand. Now I understand why we're in Golus. Now I understand why we're suffering more than any other nation. So this is how it all started. It started with Ezra Tzadok and his brothers. And Moshe Rabbeinu found out that the 200 years is going to be because of this, because of machloikas among us. Now Hashem says to him, I want you, Moshe Rabbeinu, to go take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, what do you mean? I have an older brother. How's he going to react to this? How's he going to react to seeing his baby brother come in on a white horse? He's been with the Yidden of Mitzrayim for 80 years and stuck. And now his younger brother's going to come in on his white horse and he's going to take... No, Moshe Rabbeinu said, it's a mitzvah habo bavera. No thank. What do you mean? It's one against 200, one against 600,000. No thank you. I'm not willing to do it if I know that I'm going to hurt his feelings. I'm going to insult him. He's going to be insulted and embarrassed. When Hashem promised him that you don't know Aaron HaKohen, this person is a chiddush. This person, a lot of times when Reuven hears that Shimon won the lottery or that Shimon got a super position or super this, oh, congratulations, I'm so happy for you. On the outside he's happy and on the inside he wants to kill himself. Either kill him or kill myself. I'd rather be dead than live knowing that he got the job instead of me or that he got a better job, that, you know, he has a better car, a better house, a better anything than me. Many people are like that. Kina and Sinna, it started, you know, from Cain and Hevel. But Aaron HaKohen, something completely different. Hashem said, Varuacho, he's going to see you, V'somach b'liboy, not just on the outside, not just on the face, but in his heart, he's going to be completely happy for you. That was the green light. Right after that, you see Moshe Rabbeinu accepts the mission, and he goes. This is who Aaron HaKohen was. And the Torah, when it speaks about him passing away, it says all of Klai Yisrael, the men and the women mourned him. What did he have to do with ladies? Shalom bayis. He was always making shalom between everybody, including husband and wife. That's what Aaron HaKohen was. So the Arizal, the connection with the Arizal, whose Yortzeit is coming soon, and Aaron HaKohen, the Arizal says, let me tell you a little about who Aaron HaKohen is. We know that every Jew has a letter in the Torah. The word Yisrael is the Rosh Tevois Yesh Shishim Ribui Oiseis La Torah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. Every Yid has a letter. Aaron HaKohen has a Pasuk. Which Pasuk? V'yohafto l'reyecho kamoicho ani Hashem. That entire Pasuk, if you add up the letters, is Bigimatria 906. 906. Aharon is 906. Because the nun at the end, a nun sofit is 700. A nun in the middle of a word is 50. We know that the aleph base goes from aleph to tof, from 1 to 400. And aleph is 1, and eleph is 1,000. So where are the numbers? Where do you have 500, 600, 700, 800, 900? It's brought at the five letters, menatzbach. Those five letters make up those numbers from 500, 600, 700, 800. So end the chaf is 500, end the mem is 600, and the nun is 700. So the word aharon, aleph, hey, resh, nun is 906, which is bigimatria v'yohafto l'reyecho kamoicho Hashem, to show that he was the epitome of this. He's the example for Klal Yisrael. When it says in Pirkei Avos, hevi mi talmidov shel aharon hakohen, why doesn't it say, Hevi mi talmidov shel Moshe Rabbeinu? If I'm going to be a Talmud already, why not Moshe Rabbeinu? Why not go to the top? The answer is, Oyev shalom. The answer is that look at this chiddush. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving a shir. Who's sitting next to him? Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen didn't need Hidi. He didn't need a babysitter. He didn't need somebody to teach him Aleph Beis. Almost everything that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, he said to Aaron HaKohen. You see it throughout the Torah. But this was the respect. This was the issue that I don't care who's older, who's younger. If Hashem appointed a speaker, whoever is speaking, I'm going to listen. Doesn't matter who it is. He's speaking the word of Hashem. He's not speaking his own words. So who cares if he's older or younger or smarter or whoever's speaking? I want to listen. I want to hear it. And I saw this by my rabbis in Yerushalayim. My rabbis, Reb Michal Dorfman, Zechon Levracha, and others, Zekanim, when they were in their 80s, they were in the shul, and they decided they wanted to have a rotation of speakers at Shalashuddas and other times. So you had people speaking who were 30, 40, 50, and this rabbi, the 80-year-old, is sitting right next to him, listening to every word, as if he's the rabbi and he's the student. This was major league and minor league, but still, who cares? He's the one that, whoever's speaking, he's speaking, whoever's giving a Dvar Torah, you want to listen, I want to hear it. That attitude. So now the Arizal teaches something which has become more popular in recent years. In the past 20, 30 years, many Sidurim printed it up front in the morning before Shacharis. The Arizal said that one of the ways of ensuring that your tefillah will be accepted by Hashem is, because the Gemara says that a tefillah of a yochid, there are many ways that it can be disqualified or rejected. A tefillah of a rabbim, a tefillah of a tzibur, the Gemara says, Hein kel kabir v'lo yemos. That the tefillah of a group will not be rejected by Hashem. So a person going to shul and joining a minyan, that covers it to a degree. But the Arizal said, let's take it a step further. Because there are many people who go to shul and they join the minyan, but they don't join the minyan. Number one, there are people that come late and different things, and they're not on the same page as the minyan is. You know, that's just on a simple level. And number two, there are certain people going there who say, I wish this guy weren't there. This guy's bothering me. This guy's sneezing. This guy comes in late. Everything's bothering him, and he's hanging by a thread. He wishes he didn't have to go to shul. There are many people say this. If I daven at home, I've had this question asked to me many times. Am I allowed to daven at home if I'm going to have more kavanah when I daven at home? In shul, there are distractions, all kinds of, you know. And wouldn't it be better for me to daven at home if I... And the answer is usually no, not at all. Because the benefits of davening tefillah b'tzibur are incredible. Again, this is one example that I just said about this pasuk that the Gemara quotes, Hein kel kabir v'lo yemos. But the Arizal says, let's take it a step further. He says that if a person really wants to be sure to clinch this, they want to hold hands with all of Klal Yisrael. How do you do that? By saying, Hareini mekabel olai mitzvah saseh shel v'yahavta l'reicha kamoicha. I hereby am taking this opportunity before I start shacharis, before I start davening, to make a declaration that I'm accepting upon myself the mitzvah of loving every Jew like myself. And he says, this is a way that a person's really saying it for the record, that I'm not a yochid, I'm not coming to Hashem like a yochid, I'm coming to Hashem as a member of Klal Yisrael, a member of an organization, you know, and that this is an insurance that the person's tefillah is going to be accepted. And the Arizal says, we know that one of the outstanding names of Hashem is called the Shem Mem Beis, the name of 42 letters, which we say every morning in Shacharis, we say it Friday night before Lech HaDoidi, Ona B'choyach. It's called the tefillah of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona. Ono b'choyach gedulas yemincho tatir tzerura. And in most sidurim, you have the line, and then to the left of it, you have the first letters of the line. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Yud, Tov, Tzadik, you know, and so on and so forth. That's called the name of 42 letters. And it's mentioned in the Zohar HaKadosh many times. Mem Beis is Maisa Bereishis. It's brought that that's the name of Hashem that was applied to Maisa Bereishis. There's a lot written about it. But in any case, there are seven lines there in that name. Each line has six words. Each one of the seven lines corresponds to one of the basic midos of Hashem. Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, etc. The last line is Shavosenu Kabel Ushma Tzakosenu Yodea Talumais. Accept our tefillah and listen to our outcry You, Hashem, who know everything that's hidden. You know what's in our hearts. You know how, you know. So the Arizal says again, this line, Hashem, accept our tefillah, listen to our cry. The first letters, Shin Kuf Vav Tzadik Yutov, spell Aharon. Abigematria Aharon, Abigematria of Yohavta L'Reach HaKomoich Ani Hashem. To show us that this is the issue. This is the issue. If we want our tefillahs to be niskabel, it's important to have kavanah, it's important to be clean, it's important. There's a, the most important rule is this ahava among Klal Yisrael. And it's interesting to note, you see it in Shulchan Aruch, when it comes to when the Shulchan Aruch introduces the halachas of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Yomim Noiroim. It says there that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, number one, even those people who throughout the year don't daven with a minyan, people who live in villages, you had this in Europe, you have it even now maybe in some places. Here we're spoiled. You live in Lawrence today, you have 300 shuls in Lawrence and 300 shuls in each one of the five towns, and in Farakway another six, you know, Baliyah and Hara, you know. But there are places where to get to a shul, you have to drive 20 miles, you know, places in the United States. So there are people who throughout the year cannot go to shul. They don't have a minyan. But Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, everybody knows they come. And I'll take this opportunity to sneak in a short story. Somebody mentioned Tanya a few minutes ago. My Rebbe, Reb Michal Dorfman, used to like to tell this over from the Balatanya, that one of the things he was very big on was tefillah b'tzibur. One of the things that they really stress is davening with a minyan. So one time he was traveling, and he was out in some village and everything. He comes there, finds a Jewish home, and he asks if he can come in to have a bite and to rest. Gladly, they took him inside, warm welcome and everything, give him something hot to drink and food, and they tell him, here's a bed, you can lay down, relax. He says, it's just what the doctor ordered, just what I need. But before he lays down, he asks him, do you have a minyan? Is there a minyan here? He says, minyan, what kind of minyan? No way, we don't have 10 Jews here, 10 men. So he says, and what do you do? He says, we manage, you know, we do without. He says, what about on the Yomim Noiroim? What about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? He says, oh, sure. Then we travel about 100 miles from here. There's a city, and there they have a minyan and everything. So he says, so why are you living here? Parnassa, my livelihood is here. You know, I have a farm, and this is what I'm doing. He says, really? He says, how many families are there in that city, the city that you go to for a show? He says, about 300 families. He says, you mean to say that Hashem can support 300 families and you don't think he can support 301 or 302? You know, like, what are you doing here? You know, this is what he said to him. And then he lay down. The Balatanya lay down. He lays down for an hour or two. He gets up and he sees the house is on wheels. They're moving furniture. He's wondering what happened, you know. He says, well, what's going on? He says, I heard what you said, and it made sense. Yeah. We're packing it up, period, packing it up. This is a person hears advice, a person hears something from a tzaddik, and what do you mean? What if it makes sense, then I'm going to do it. What's the question? I'll wait till tomorrow. What tomorrow? There's no tomorrow in Yiddishkeit. The Torah says, Hayoim, Asher Anoichi Mitzavcho Hayoim. On Friday night, we're going to say, Tchilo Lemikroi Kodesh. That this is the first of all the holidays. All the Yomim Toivim, including Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, draw their Kedusha from Shabbos. Shabbos is the only Yontif that's Skila. Skila is the strictest death penalty of all of them, according to most opinions. Violating Shabbos, Chil Shabbos is Skila. Everything else is Yom Kippur, it's Kores, Misa B'dei Shamayim, different. But Shabbos is... And on Shabbos, we climb. We start off with Friday night, and then Shabbos morning, and then we get to Shabbos Mincha, which is the climax of Shabbos. And what's the focus then? Ato Echad, V'Shimcha Echad, Umi Kamcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz. That's our greatness. That's our secret weapon. Goy Echad Ba'aretz. If we're Echad, we're invincible. And that's why in the Megillah, when Haman wanted to present his project to Ahasuerus, and the Gemara says, what, were they both idiots? I mean, anybody who studies a little bit of history, they saw Paroi went up against the Jews, he lost. Whoever went up against the Jews lost. What made them think that they're going to be different? What made them think that they have a chance to succeed? Haman said it. He said, Yeshnoi am echad mefuzor u'mefoirod bein ha'amim. They're separate. They're not united. They're mefoirod. They're not united, so they're vulnerable. They're vulnerable. And he was right. He was right. What was the solution? Esther Amalka says, Leich kenois es kol ha-yehudim ha-nimtzim b'shushan. She says to Mordechai, go gather up all the Jews that are in Shushan. V'tzumu alai, fast, v'al toich l'tishtu. And with this, I'm going to go to the king, and with this, I have a chance. And sure enough, that was the winning chance. She won. She was successful. Her mission was successful. Why? Because all the Yidden got together. This is the point, and this is the introduction to this period of Bein HaMetzorim, you know, where everybody knows. The Gemara says that the first Churban was 70 years. You know, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the first Golos was 70 years. After the second Beis HaMikdash, it's over 2,000 years, and we're not finished yet. And the Gemara says the first one was for Avodah Zorah, Gilui Raya, Shefiras Domim. The second one was for Sinas Chinam. And if you read the Gemara in Gittin, where it mentions the stories leading up to the Churban, this is what most of it is about. Most of it is about Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi. You know, the last story that the Gemara gives there, the clincher, that there was a person who had a student who he was teaching, not Torah, but he was teaching him a livelihood. And the student had a wife, and his teacher was jealous, coveted his student's wife. So he worked out a whole plan, that he told him that, he lent him money. He lent him a large sum of money, and then the student, came time to pay the student after, he told him, send your wife, you know, to do it. He sent his wife, the teacher kept the wife there for a few days, and then the student came, well, he said, you know, I don't know what happened, you know. P.S. It ended up that the student ended up working for his teacher. The teacher ended up married. He said, you have to divorce her because she behaved in a promiscuous way and everything. The student divorced her. The teacher married her. And the student was, but he said, how can I divorce her? The ksuba, she has a ksuba that's a large amount of money. He said, I'll lend you the money. No problem. But get rid of her. He lends him the money, he divorces her, the teacher marries her, and now he's stuck paying off the debt. So he goes, works for the teacher, the Gemara says, and the Gemara says he would serve them, he would serve this couple, his wife, who left him, and his tears went into the food, and Hashem said, that's it, that's the straw that breaks the camel. Now we can destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Now millions of Jews are going to die because of Kamtza Barka, because of the stories that the Gemara mentions. You know, all about us not getting it together. You know, this issue of not having the proper ahava, love and respect for another person, you know, for another Yid. This is what really, unfortunately, caused the major downfall. Now, one of the Gemara says in Tainus that there's nothing in the Gemara or in the Navi that's not hinted to in the Chumash. We know that there are four fasts for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Tisha B'Av, Tzom Gedalia, Asar B'Teves, and Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Where are they mentioned in the Chumash? Where do you see any mention of this in the Chumash? In the Navi, it speaks about, you know, Tzom HaRavi, Tzom HaChamishi. So there's a pasuk when Yaakov Avinu engaged the Sar Shel Esav, the angel of Esav, and it says that the angel of Esav hit him in his thigh, in his Gid Hanoshe, and that's why the Gid Hanoshe became something forbidden, that special sinew in the thigh. So the wording in the pasuk there is, so first of all, the Zohar HaKadosh explains that that's a remez to the Jews getting hit in the leg, towards the end. The leg means the bottom, towards the end, you know, the final Churban, the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and the second Beis HaMikdash, and the Golos, you know, which the final Golos, which is going to be the Golos Roimi, the Golos Edom, which is Esav, that this is a remez to that. But the Zohar HaKadosh says, take a look at the words. Al kein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael. Therefore, the Jews don't eat. Es gid hanosher. That's the wording of the pasuk. They don't eat that special, you know, sinew, that special gid in the animal. The word es is the first letters of Tisha Av, the ninth of Av. The word gid, gimel is gimel Tishrei, the third of Tishrei, which is Tzom Gedalia, the day after Rosh Hashanah. Yud is Asara B'Teves, the tenth of Teves. Gimel Yud Dalid is 17, Shiva Sarbatamos. And the word Hanoshe is the letters Hashanah. Al Kain Lo Yochlu B'nei Yisrael, therefore the Jews do not eat, which days of the year? Es and Gid is a remez to these four fast days, you know, to show that everything is in the Chumash. Everything is in the Chumash. Now, the first pasuk in Eicha, you know, on Tisha B'Av we have Eicha. The first pasuk is Eicha Yoshva Vodod Ho'ir Rabosiyom Ho'iso Kamono. How in the world is this city of Yerushalayim now Vodod alone, like quarantined, you know, cut off completely? So again, the Zohar HaKadosh brings a remez that the first letters of this pasuk, Eicha Yoshva Vodod Ho'ir, spells the word Eva. Eva means sinna, hate. Rabosi om hoisa ro'o. Eva ro, which means evil sinna, you know, wicked sinna. That's what really, really is the main thing that caused this tremendous churban, you know, this tremendous destruction. I once saw in a sefer that it mentions an incredible chiddush about Moshe Rabbeinu, about Moshe Rabbeinu's loyalty to Klal Yisrael, that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from heaven, you know, Hashem told him, "Lech raid, go down, ki shicheis amcha, because your people have messed up big time." You know, Avodah Zarah, they were just at Har Sinai, they just saw all the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf and Matan Torah, and this is what they do. Go down. Moshe Rabbeinu goes down. He sees the Yidden worshipping Avodah Zarah. And what does he do? He takes the Luchos, handmade by Hashem, engraved by Hashem, on very precious stone. And Haluchos Asher Shibarto. Doesn't say Shovarto, Shibarto. He smashes it. He smashes it. Destroys it completely. So there are a lot of explanations as to what that was all about. That the Luchos were actually the marriage contract between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. So you destroy the marriage contract, you know, no contract. You can't be prosecuted the same way as if there's a written document. But I once saw in a sefer an incredible chiddush. There's a Gemara, a famous Gemara that says, Hameshaber keli b'chamosoi keilu oyved avodah zarah. That if a person gets angry, number one, anger alone is in a class of its own. The Arizal says that all Averois damage the soul. They put stains on the soul. Stains, you put it in the laundry, bleach, there's ammonia, there's different ways to get out stains. By Kas, it says, Toireif nafshoi biapoi, that a person tears up his nefesh. It's like taking an neshama, putting it in a shredder, like a paper shredder. That's what happens when a person loses their temper, chas v'shalom. So kas is very unique among the different averos. And now it says if a person takes it a step further, they get angry and they throw a plate or something, they break something, that's kilu oved avodah zarah. So one of the Mefoshim writes, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down and he sees all the Yidden worshipping idols. If he was a typical Jew, a good Orthodox, from Haredi Jew today, what would he do? He'd say, I have nothing to do with this. I don't know them. I never knew them. I'm out of here. What does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Count me in. He shows Klal Yisrael, you are Avodah Zarah? I'm also Avodah Zarah. He did it for show. He didn't do it, you know, he did it for show. To show that he's not disconnecting, that no matter, there's nothing that Klal Yisrael can do that I'm going to walk away from them. Just like Hashem says the same thing. No matter what. You read the Haftorahs of the Bein HaMetzorim, you know, where Hashem is very angry, but it always ends on a positive note. There's a pasuk, Berega Kotoin Azavtich, Hashem says, in a tiny second, I left you. Uverachamim gedoilim akapseich. But with rachamim gedoilim, I'm going to gather you back. I'm going to take you back. What do you mean, rachamim gedoilim? The Zohar Kodesh says that there's rachamim and there's rachamim. There's different levels of rachmonas. When we introduce the Yudgun Amidah Shorachmim, we say, Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, V'chanun, Erech, Apayim. We introduce it. There are different versions. There are different opinions among the tzaddikim as to, if you count the number of words there, there's more than 13 words. So how do you break it up? What are the actual Yudgun Amidah Shorachmim? There are different opinions. According to the Zohar Kodesh and the Arizal, it's the Hashem, Hashem is not part of it. That's intro. It starts off with Kel, Rachum, V'chanun. Erech is one. Apayim is another one. V'rav Chesed is number 6. V'emes is number 7. And so on and so forth. So the Hashem, Hashem is introduction. The Gemara says in Yuma, why is Hashem's name mentioned twice? Kan koidem achet, kan liachar achet. The first Yud Kei Vav Kei is talking about before a person does an Avera, Hashem is nice to him. Hashem is chesed, kindness. After a person does an Avera, now Hashem has to summon up a much higher level of rachmonis in order to help that person. Because now the guy, you know, got out of the good graces of Hashem. He's not Hashem's good graces. That's what that second Yud Kei Vav Kei is. That it takes double Yud Kei Vav Kei to be able to be Makariv, Klal Yisrael, to be able to take us back after Rechet. That's this Rachamim Gedoilim, that it says, Berega Kod, that there's standard Rachamim, and there's Rachamim Gedoilim. You know, there's a person does something bad, you know, there's a punishment. That person crosses a certain line, a certain red line, where it's major, it's 20 years in prison, that kind of thing. Hashem says, even there, I have this rachamim gedoilim with which I'm going to bring you back. Just like when the Yidden came out of Mitzrayim, we know that we weren't really deserving necessarily to be taken out, but Hashem exceeded. Pesach means to skip over. He skipped over all the calculations. Based on calculations, we were supposed to be there another 190 years. Hashem skipped over it all to take us out. So too we're told that, especially regarding the Geula that we're waiting for now, that there is this rachamim gedoilim. There is an incredible, incredible, high, you know, extraordinary level of rachmanis that Hashem can draw on to solve even the biggest problems. You know, a person has a certain situation, he needs $100, he needs $500, you know. A person has a situation, chas v'sham lo aleinu, where the house burns down. Now it's not a matter of taking up a collection, everybody's going to give $50. That's not going to do it. You need somebody to be able to write a check for $300,000, for a mortgage, for, you know, to replace that. That's a whole different league of rachmanis, and Hashem has it. And there are certain times and certain places and certain people that can access that rachamim gedoilim. Times, one of the times is Shabbos Mincha, when we say Vani Sfilosi Lecha Hashem Eis Ratzayim. That this is a special, special time when this rachamim gedoilim is available, this extraordinary high level of kindness that could help a person even in the worst situation, a person who needs a major, major yeshua. Places, there are places, a shul, we mentioned as an example, Eretz Yisrael, Kivrei Tzadikim, these are places that have a certain extra kedusha where a person can access this rachamim gedoilim, a person can make contact with a much, much higher level of rachmanis than they can in an ordinary place, a regular place. And then the concept of tzaddikim, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to tap into this. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to turn things around. At our worst time, we worship Egel HaZohav, he gets Hashem not only to forgive us, but to give us the secret of the Yud Gimel Midah Shorachmim, the 13 attributes of kindness. We see that there are tzaddikim and there are times and places that have such a power, you know, to be able to access this rachamim gedoilim. We'll stop here. If there's any questions or anything, we can try to handle it. We should be zeicher that Hashem should have rachmanis on us before the 9 days. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is an Eis Ratzon. Tomorrow morning we're going to say Shmonas Esrei, Roshei Chodoshim La'amcha Nasata, Zman Kapor L'chol Todosam, B'hiyosam Akrimel Lefonecha Zivchei Ratzon. Ratzon means appeasement, you know, that Hashem accepted willingly, that Hashem, it brought out the goodwill of Hashem. And then we say it again, U'siri'izim Naseh V'Ratzon, of Avodas Hashem. We mention it twice over there, that each one of these Yomim Tovim, when we have a Yontif or a Shabbos, one of the things that makes it special is that this is a special Eis Ratzon. This is an opportunity to tap into a source that's not available during the week. It's not available at regular days. And on these special days, a person can tap into it. Any questions?
Well, Baba Tereba actually talks about this time of the year, the Ben Mitzarim, which is the time of the year that Jewish people suffer the most, is the greatest Eis Ratzon. Because when your children are the most in pain, that's when, you know, the father, when he gets home and he's all angry, then he's not listening. But once he patches the kid, then he feels bad. And this is definitely the time where Hashem listens the most to us.
Definitely. There's a fabulous chiddush of the Bnei Yisachar related to this. The Gemara says that when the Romans, you know, finally broke through Yerushalayim and they got in and they got to the Beis HaMikdash and they wanted to see, this is the Jews' holy building, this is their holy temple. Let's see the holiness. And they went all the way into the Kodesh HaKodoshim and they saw there the Kruvim in an embrace. They saw these two childlike images, you know, the faces with the birds in an embrace, hugging each other. And they picked this up and took this outside and said, look, this is the holy nation, this is the holy people. Look what they have in their holy of holy, lovebirds. You know, that's the way they presented it. So the Bnei Yisachar asks a very powerful question. We know the Gemara says that there was a miracle in the Beis HaMikdash, that when the Jews were good, when we behaved well and properly, then the Kruvim faced each other. When we misbehaved, the Kruvim turned back to back. So how could it be that at this time of Churban Beis HaMikdash, when Hashem is angrier than angry, you know, at us and everything, how could it be that they saw these birds in an embrace? Good question. So he says, there's a law in Shulchan Aruch that says that if a husband is leaving his wife to go on a business trip, he's going away for a week or 2 weeks, whatever it is, there's a special mitzvah obligation for them to be together, the husband and wife to be together before he goes away, before he goes on the trip. Why? Because depending on the ahava between the husband and wife, that plays an important role in what level neshama they can bring down to the world. If she becomes pregnant, a holy soul, a good soul, a strong soul, one of the things that defines that is the relationship between the husband and wife at the time. And because of the fact that the husband is leaving now, when two people are close to each other, they like each other. When they're around each other, they're friendly, lovey-dovey, everything's great. When one of them is leaving, parting makes the heart grow fonder, they say. That when one of them knows that, when they know that they're going to be separated for a period of time, the feelings, the good feelings, the feelings of love that each one has for the other multiply, gets 100% stronger, and that's a tremendous opportunity to be able to bring down a very holy neshama. So the Bnei Yisachar says, Hashem was saying goodbye to Klal Yisrael now. He was leaving. He was going to leave for, you know, 400 years, the second Beis Hamikdash, 2,000 years. That time of leaving, that moment of leaving, is a time when the Ahava was at a tremendous high. And that's why on Tisha B'Av, where we sit on the floor and we don't eat and we don't drink and mamish avelus, super avelus, for the first half of the day. The second half of the day, from Chatzoy Siyoyim, the laws change. You don't sit on the floor, you can sit on a chair, because it's brought that the neshama of Moshiach was born on Tisha B'Av, on Tisha B'Av, the second part of the day. Out of all, imagine a birthday, couldn't he have a birthday like Simchas Torah? You know, this is Mashiach. This is the savior of Klal Yisrael. Why out of all the lousy days? The answer is, because again, that's a time of parting, separation. That's a time when the love reaches the highest peak, like after the father gives the patch. And that's what brings down this holiest of all the souls, you know, this holy neshama. Well, he had one small piece that I heard from my Rebbe. The sons of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is about to leave the world. He wants to give brachas to all of his kids, right? Before you leave, you give a bracha. Reuven, smash. Shimon and Levi, smash. Reuven, he reprimands for acting in haste. Pachas kamayim al tosa, yeah. Change. Who are you to mix in my bed, moving his mother's bed, all the different things. Shimon and Levi are fighters. They klei chomos mecheresayim b'soydom al tovay nafshi ubekolim al. I don't want my name mentioned by them, by Zimri, by Korach, you know. Smash. Comes to Yehuda. He says, Yehuda, ato yoiducha achecha. You are the praiseworthy one of all your brothers. Yodcha v'oref ovecho. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. And he says there, miteref b'ni olisa. You left. You backed out from tearing up my son. When they made the plan to kill Yosef Tzadik, Reuven said, "Ma betza, what's in this for us? What are we going to gain out of this? What benefit are we going to have out of this?" So it's brought that these three words, "Miteref b'ni olisa," that he did not join this machloket. He didn't join this lynch. Makes up the first name, the first letters of the name of Moshiach. The Gemara says, "What is Moshiach's name?" Menachem ben Amiel. That's the name of Moshiach. The first letters of Menachem ben Amiel spell the first letters of Miteref b'ni Olisa. Again, to show that this is the key. Why was Yehuda chosen that Moshiach should come from him? Not involved. There's machlokas. Count me out. I'm not in. And there's a beautiful Gemara. The Gemara says in one place that different people got together, different yeshivas, to suggest what is the name of Moshiach. So the Gemara says in the yeshiva of Rabbi Menachem, they said his name is Menachem, and they quoted a pasuk where it says, you know, that this is what Moshiach is going to do. He's going to be our consolation. On Tisha B'Av we say Nachem, right? We say the tefillah of Nachem. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Shiloh, they said his name is going to be Shiloh. It's a pasuk in the Chumash. Ad ki yavo Shiloh v'lo yikasamim. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai, they said his name will be Yanai, and they quoted a pasuk, Lifnei Shemesh Yinon Shemo. His name is going to outshine the sun. And in the yeshiva of Rabbi Cheskiah, they said his name is Cheskiah, and they quoted a pasuk also. So the Vilna Gaon comes along and says, look at the four yeshivas, Menachem, Shiloh, Yinon, Cheskiah, Mem, Shin, Yud, Ches, Moshiach. Meaning, they're all right. They were all right. That Moshiach is going to be a composite. He's going to be a combination of all the tzaddikim, all the good that's found in all of the tzaddikim. He's going to be a composite of all of that. We should be zocha. The Gemara says that one of the ways that you know that Moshiach is on the way is kategoria shebein talmidei machlokes. Machlokas in Klal Yisrael, all kinds of machlokas on every level. And each Jew has to try his best not to add oil to the fire and not to add wood to the fire. Start at home. It starts with shalom bayis and shalom with our kids and with our relatives and with our parents on all sides and in our shuls everywhere to really try our best to avoid machloket, you know, at just about all costs. So 1 second, does that mean that if the reform guys want to have a place at the Kotel where men and ladies will daven together and the women can wear tefillin and they can read it? So we should, peace, shalom. Shalom is greater than anything. There are psukim about that, that say that ein shalom omer Hashem lo rishonim, you know, that there are certain lines that cannot be crossed, you know. Shalom means, the Zohar HaKadosh says, you have a horse and you have the rider on the horse. When the rider is riding on the horse, it works. If you try to switch it, let's share, half the way, I'll sit on you, and the other half of the way, you'll sit on me, right? The Zohar Kodesh says that can't work. The body is the horse, the neshama is the rider. If the peace between the neshama and the guf is when the neshama is leading and the body is following, when the body submits to the neshama, when the body says, no, let's do a role reverse, let's try it the other way, it's catastrophe. You know, it doesn't work. But here again, some people use that as an excuse. Okay, so if those women that wear shetels, they're treif, pusel, they're amolek, and they're the ones delaying Moshiach. And this one says that it's the ones who are doing this. It's the ones who don't go to the army. And this one says it's the ones who do go to the army. Each one has their shita to be able to say that I'm kosher and everybody else is treif, everybody else is pusel. And it's not what Hashem really wants. It's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants us to be able to be malame tzchus on Klal Yisrael. You see that even Elyonovi, even the biggest tzaddikim, if a person spoke against Klal Yisrael, he got zapped, he got punished. Elyonovi came to Hashem and he said, Ozvu bris Hashem alekecha. The Yidden have forsaken your bris. Hashem said, I have two messages for you. Message number one is, you're going to attend every bris. You're going to be there at every bris to see that my kids do uphold the bris. And number two, prepare your student Elisha Novi to take over. That was when Elisha Novi was replaced, when he spoke against Klal Yisrael, you know, when he said something to Hashem. Because Hashem wants, especially tzaddikim and all of us, to defend Jews as much as possible, to be malamei tzchus, wherever it's possible, to be malamei tzchus. In the Shulchan Aruch, all over the place, it stresses that this is 100 years ago, they said, that most Jews that are not religious are in the category of Tinoi Shenishba. They weren't educated, they don't know, they don't really know. It's not that these are people who know 100% and they're doing it lahachas. That's not usually the case. There are rare exceptions. Some of the leaders of those groups of reform, conservative, some of them who were educated Orthodox, people who know what the law is and they know what's right, and because of money or kavod is that, they're willing to sell Hashem down the river, you know, to have a position in a conservative, you know, they have a reckoning to do. But again, we should be zecher to do our part to bring about the coming of Moshiach, the Gula Shlema, b'mehera v'meinu, amen v'amein. Amen.